This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Tommy, Ocean Chinook or Puget Sound Coho, what is your palate favorite?
And you drop that kokanee on top of that barn door halibut's head, 67 feet of water, and he was not happy about that.
Well, I don't know. What do you think? Boxers or briefs?
Ooh, I'm going to have to go with a European cut speedo.
Fantastic. Excellent choice.
I love tuna. I do love tuna.
Heck yeah! Hey, you know, I have a buddy who refers to Canadian geese as flying carp. Obviously, he's not cooking them.
Right? He clearly.
Right? Oh, ocean snook.
Seriously?
Hands down.
Really?
Hands down. I don't fish for coho.
Ah, good point. Hey, speaking of grind, can you tell the difference between ground deer and ground elk? Honestly, taste the difference.
You know, Dwayne, we only get one chance to live this life. Mm-hmm. And you will always regret the things that you don't do. So you know what I tell people? Buy the damn boat.
Hey, you know, the facts are, some days are just a grind. Welcome to Fish Hunt Northwest, the number one fishing and hunting talk show throughout the Pacific Northwest and beyond. Now here's your host, Dwayne England, and of course, the infamous Tommy Donlan.
Hello, and welcome to Fish Hunt Northwest, Dwayne England. And yep, Tommy Donlan once again abandoned me. He's on the trajectory to Nia Bay for the weekend. Yeah, once his boat's out there, you know, it's kind of off and on whether he's going to join me in studio each and every week. But none to worry. I got a couple of stunt doubles here that are going to – it takes two men to replace one, said Thomas Donlan, right? So we'll get into that in a little bit. Hey, I want to welcome everybody to the show this evening. So glad you could join us. If it is your first time joining us here at Fish Hunt Northwest in studio, jump on over to our webpage, www.fishhuntnw.com. They're going to find a ton of useful information, lots of blogs, lots of how-tos, and, of course, video content. And you'll find some coupon codes that you definitely want to take advantage of. Edge Rods, FHN20 at checkout. You're going to save 20% on all Edge Rods direct from the factory if they're not already assigned to another reduced pricing or special. FHN20 at checkout. And then, of course, Phelps Game Calls, Fish Hunt NW10 at checkout with Phelps Game Calls. You're going to save 10% on all calls through Phelps for the entire year. I want to welcome our guests in studio. First time here, fellas. Nice to have you here. James Beasley.
Nice to be here.
Hey.
Nice
and, of course, Ruben Estevillo. See, I left the L's out.
Huh? Yeah.
How was that?
Estevillo, you got
Estevillo.
It.
There we go. Ruben Estevillo. So James Beasley, CEO, creator, founder of Wicked Lure. And Ruben, so glad to get you in here. Quinault Tribal
really
member. And fisherman, commercial crabber. And we're going
to
get into your history and whatnot. And we got some great hatchery content to look forward to talking about, and the programs are running out there in the Quinault Nation. So
got some good information.
Yeah, really good stuff. So I'm glad you guys can make the drive and join us here. And boy, nice weather change.
Oh man,
you weren't expecting almost 80 degrees.
I didn't
when you
expect
got here.
That. So I was outside wearing this, I'm like, whoo,
absolutely. Hey, it also we got to recognize it is D-Day, 80 years.
Amazing.
80-year anniversary of D-Day. And for all the sacrifices that were made and the families that still look back upon what took place and transpired on this day on the beaches of Normandy. And, of course, another significant event on this day 60 years ago, believe it or not, Mom and Dad's 60th wedding anniversary. is actually today. So I grew up in a household where my dad would say there's actually two historical D-Days, you know, but not trying to any way, shape, or form belittle the true D-Day.
Hey, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so 60 years for mom and dad. Hey, they're still fishing. They still launch the Livingston out there at American Lake and go after kokanee and trout.
Man.
And you don't have to ask my dad. He'll tell you straight up who outfishes who on a regular basis. So pretty outstanding 60 years. Congratulations. Love you both. And get to celebrate that all tomorrow. So, all righty, running down the show, and we got a ton to get through. As I had mentioned, James Beasley, CEO, founder of Wicked Lures, LLC. How did it all come about in the creation of the Wicked Lure? We're going to delve into that. And then, of course, Ruben Esteville, commercial fisherman, as I mentioned, crabber with Quinault Indian Nation. He's a guide, coastal rivers, and the opportunity out there, man. It is something, it's a special place. So going to kind of break that down for folks. In case you missed it, recent atmospheric river. The river levels currently, wow, if you had to summarize. Summer on Steelhead, and yeah, what does this water level mean right now? Man. And got to kind of take a look at that. Then back to you, James. We want to kind of delve into the old Wicked Lures. How many states have you fished them? What species of fish? And more importantly, all the different techniques and methods you find in how to rig this particular lure in presentation. And then Ruben, we want to jump into some of those statistics with those three hatcheries out there within Quinault Nation. Break down by the numbers and why they are so darn successful. And then, of course, we're going to kind of go back and forth between the two of you. Ruben, your rivers. James, your lures. The successes you guys have had in the content you have put out there for folks to see over the years. Yeah. So we got a lot of stuff to get into. Glad you guys are here. I'm really intrigued on a number of the different ways you guys rig these things.
Oh, yeah.
And how successful that can be. So if you got questions, text us up here on the old, information here this evening. I'll try to answer as many as I can. I get a little busy when I'm running solo in here, but two great guests in studio, tons of content to get through. So don't go anywhere. Jump it out for a quick break. We'll be back in studio with these two gentlemen right after this break, right here, Fish on Northwest. Defiance Marine is the one-stop shop for the Pacific Northwest angler. Defiance Marine guarantees the best price on a new and best service on a repower for your current boat. Defiance Marine is a Honda Premier dealership and one of the largest on the West Coast. Defiance Marine is a boat dealer who proudly sells Defiance, Allied, and Arima boats. All boats are built by West Coast fishermen for West Coast fishermen. Defiance Marine has all your boating needs to help you get out on the water.
If you're looking for the best fishing rods in the world, you really do need to take a look at the Edge rods. I designed and built new machinery, and I think this new machinery has enabled us to build blanks like no other company can build without this equipment. There is no other rods in the world that are as good as these rods. You owe it to yourself to take a good look at them.
All right, welcome back here in studio, Dwayne England, and in studio guests once again, James Beasley and Ruben Esteville, and tons of content to get through.
Oh, man.
Never have enough time, but James, I want to start with you.
Sure.
Creator, founder, CEO, for a long time, one-man mission here with Wicked Lure. So let's talk a little bit about how you created, the company and somewhat of the evolution into the lure that you now are manufacturing and selling all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, growing up on a river, I started steelhead fishing when I was around 10, 11 years old. Mm-hmm. And I had some friends of mine that were older and kind of took me under their wing and showed me how to drift fish, tie a snell knot, learn how to use corkies, learn how to cure your own eggs, And so this is where the idea came from as a kid, is running Pearl Pink Bobber, which you're an old school drift fisherman. God knows how many fish are caught on that bobber.
Yeah.
Tons. The snell knot. And then you're running your,
pencil lead.
Your pencil lead and your tubing. Mm-hmm. And then, I was doing this when I was like 12, 13. And, growing up in a small town, growing up on Morris Creek, that's where this company was born. And so I was always one of these kids that would just play with stuff. I always thought I could make something better. And then one day I had this idea when I was about 16 to run a hoochie on them.
Drift fish hoochies.
And I was catching a lot of steelhead doing that. And then when I was about 18, I was doing it for fun. Then I said, okay, I'm going to run a spinning goal in front of it. And I want to be able to cast it and retrieve it. And I was doing this for steelhead. This was never for salmon.
Yeah.
And so that's how it started. Mm-hmm. And so this is kind of the early stages of the beginning of it. And then right around when I was 19, I started putting a spinner blade on it and started casting and retrieving them for coho and kings. And that became really productive. And
you're like, what have
exciting.
I done?
Exciting. And, mm-hmm. and of course, it was really, this is really for steelhead when I first started.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that.
No, most people would, because of the hoochie.
That's right.
You're thinking it's salmon, especially coho.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's like in the size,
right?
You know, we'll throw larger hoochies, obviously, or fish bigger hoochies in different orientation in Puget Sound and the ocean for Chinook and very productive. But I mean, the coho chase those things too, especially in rivers. You have any idea how many you're selling a year?
It's in the thousands. You know, I started this in my garage, over, 12 and a half years ago.
Yeah.
And with an idea and going, am I really going to do this? Do you think the public would respond to this? Do you think this is going to be something that would people want to have in their tackle box as another great weapon? Because there's lots of wonderful, great products on the market.
What, still a one-man show? You got employees now?
You know what? A lot of volunteers.
Yeah.
And a lot of bartering and a lot of beer.
Yeah.
And, my mom's in there too. She likes to get in there and help out. So
it's your full-time. I mean, it consumes time.
It's all my time, seven days a week. Yeah. I try to get back to everybody, when they reach out to me.
People, they think, oh, you own a tackle company. Boy, you just must be flying all over, fishing everywhere.
Nope.
I wish I had your job. How many times you hear that?
I bet 100 times a year.
Yeah. Start a business. More. I mean, grassroots, creating something, getting out there, marketing and constantly networking. It's no small task.
No.
And from the outside looking in, your lure is performing extremely well. It's all over the place.
It's amazing, the response. And the younger generation, too, has really captured that. And, with us working on social media with Instagram and this younger generation, they love their phones. They can easily look at something and they want to go
right
try
now.
It. It's right now.
Yeah. How many different colors, combinations, hoochie, spinner blade, and various sizes are all?
Yeah, we have three different sizes. The bigger ones, of course, the King Killer line, and that's on 30-pound test and number six blades and, 2-aught hooks. And then you have the regular wickets, which I started out years ago, and then I bumped that up after 4 or 5 years R&D in the product up in Alaska at my buddy's lodge, and that was called Lake Creek Lodge, Alaska. And that's Jeff Woodward. Thank you for allowing me to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff, you're awesome. And so that was my field testing grounds, was his lodge, then back to Western Washington, Forks, Solduck, Ho, Bogus Shield, Dungeness, Morris Creek, Liar River, you name it, every river on the 112, on the, the 101, I hit them all.
Well, and somebody may ask, well, why would you go to Alaska to test product? Well, you want a target-rich environment.
You do.
Because if they're not snapping and there's a ton of fish around, you're like, this thing's a joke.
I'm not going to put this on
the market.
But
if you're catching a ton of fish, now you have the confidence to come back down to lower 48.
That's what
and
I
you
do.
Go, if the fish are here, they're going to bite.
Absolutely.
They're going to go after this. If we're not catching fish, maybe it's an off day and or there's just not that many fish here.
Yep.
So, I mean, it totally makes sense from a field test perspective.
I just don't like to put everybody at shows will come up to me and say, oh, you need this color. Oh, why don't you do this? Oh, man, I wish you would do this. I've done so many ideas that, I like to tried and true test a product first.
At some point, you're competing against yourself.
Right. And
you get too many SKUs.
And what do you do? They're going to sit on clearance and never sell.
And
so
you have your high producers.
Yes.
You have your go-tos. And, like most lures, conditions driven. Once figure out what presentation of hoochie and blade combination works well for this type of water condition, that's where they find success. Right?
Absolutely.
We tell them at the shows too, like, these are the colors that we use in this condition, in this color of water.
Not just selling a bunch of them just to sell them. You want this for this. Yeah. That's fantastic. What retail locations online?
Sportco, they're our flagship company. Mm-hmm. They're wonderful. Sports' Warehouse, Cabela's, Bass Pro. Of course, you can find them online.
Yep.
And if you want a lot of good information, you can go to our website at, wickedlures.com. There's a lot of great videos on there to show you how to use the product.
Yeah. Well, much more to get to as far as presentation technique points.
Yeah.
It's not just to cast and retrieve.
No.
You guys are doing some crazy things with this stuff. So we're going to jump out for a quick break. More with these gentlemen when we come back. Ruben, you're in the hot seat.
All right.
Let's start talking a little bit about what's going on out there in that Quinault Nation.
Yeah,
how's that sound? All right. Right on. Jumping out for a quick break. We'll be back in studio right after this.
Allied.
the new leader in heavy gauge aluminum boats. Allied boats have standard reverse chine and lifting rakes to help you plane faster and run at lower RPMs. Allied boats have several models to choose from, ranging from a 19-foot Mustang all the way up to a 32-foot Liberator. So regardless of what type of heavy gauge aluminum boats you are looking for, Allied Boats will have it for you. Contact Allied Boats today to learn more about these incredible fishing machines. All right, welcome back here in studio. Dwayne England, James Beasley, and Ruben Estevillo, former Army Infantry.
Yeah, long, long time ago.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thanks for your serving time. Yeah, and former patrol sergeant out there at Quinault Nation.
Yeah, I was a cop for about 8 years.
Yeah. Did you do that right after you got out of the Army then?
No. I did a 100 jobs.
All kinds of stuff. Yeah, okay.
Whatever.
Okay.
Grew up on the beach, so
yeah,
there's, you know, all kinds of
opportunities out there, sure. Currently, though, commercial fisherman crabber.
Yeah.
Well-known crabber out of Westport. A lot of people talking about you. And what's the name of your boat?
I'm running the Josie now.
Okay.
And I'm working on some things for the future for myself.
Gotcha. And then, of course, well known for your guiding on the rivers out there. Queets, Quinault, yep. Correct, right?
Fish the lower Queets, lower Quinault.
Yep. How many years have you been guiding?
This year will be my 25th as a registered guide. But, you know, we all, like, I grew up taking friends.
Sure.
In high school, I started steelhead fishing when I was 12 years old.
Gotcha.
Swinging spoons in Cook Creek.
How many years have you been running a boat crabbing?
So this is my 17th year
of
running a boat. But okay. It'll be 21 years as a crabber.
Yeah. Which do you enjoy more?
I love being on the river.
Yeah.
You know, crabbing, that's my bread and butter. That pays the bills.
Sure.
I crab so I can afford to chase steelhead.
I love it. So, hey, you know, it's no secret to anybody in this room and beyond that a lot of our rivers throughout Washington Northwest, you know, we're struggling. Mm-hmm. We're struggling, and name a fish species, we're probably struggling unless you got a hump on your back, right. You know, because we don't manage those. We just leave them alone, and they seem to do fine, right? So it's no different out there on your rivers, Ruben. I mean, you've seen some heydays back in the day, and you've seen a decline in your fisheries,
right? Yeah, just in my, you know, 20 years of fishing on the river, I've seen a big decline in the fish coming back.
But that being said, year in and year out, again, from the outside looking in, you look at some of the numbers that are posted and some of the returns to the hatcheries, and you go, man, you know what? I don't know what's happening out there on Quinault Nation, but there's some pretty productive returns.
It happened. Talking 5-10% return on Cook Creek coho.
Now we're talking hatchery fish. I mean, that is, so you mentioned that. So Cook Creek, and we're going to get into the three different hatcheries that the nation's involved with, but Cook Creek coho, so they're releasing, and you gave this to me earlier, 650,000 smolt. Mm-hmm. What I found interesting is 15 fish per pound. Now, I don't know what DFW does on.
That's what we were talking.
So, but I mean, it's just basic science. It's like more fish per pound, obviously smaller fish, less fit, smaller size smolt, 15 fish per pound. That's a nice healthy, you know, size smolt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we get plenty of DFW folks watching, and somebody may send me a message later on to say when it comes to their coho, they're in and around that as well. But I find it very interesting, 5-10% return, adults returning on those rivers out of the Cook Creek production on that coho fishery.
Yeah,
that's impressive.
They're healthy fish.
If the state could do that on a regular basis, year in and year out, I mean, some years it's marginal, man, 1% on some of our fisheries, 3% would be a robust year, you know? I mean, when I talk to some of these fishery managers, you're like, seriously, we're at 1-point-something% return on, you know, any particular fishery. So why do you think that is?
You know, we talked about it before. I think the conditions at the hatchery, the water's not treated.
Mm-hmm.
It's spring. It's in
all natural spring fed.
All spring fed. But the other thing, I don't know, but like my theory is, everybody that works at the hatchery is a fisherman.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a vested interest in that.
They want to be successful. Well, you know, there's something you said about passion for your work.
For sure, yeah.
If you're not just punching a time clock and, you know, collecting. And I'm not saying, I mean,
there are a lot of very passionate
for sure
biologists, field biologists, hatchery managers within DFW as well.
There's talented
right?
people in our state hatcheries and tribal, both.
For sure. Yeah. It's just, it's very interesting that we see some of these returns percentage-wise based on the numbers in release and the percentage of return year in and year out. So one thing I've always been curious about, so we all fish off of forecasts. Mm-hmm. Preseason forecasts, we get a number that we can target. We have basically a cap on some of our fisheries. We have encounter rates. We have sublegal encounter rates. We have wild encounters. We have all these parameters we got to, you know, fish within. For the commercial gillnet fisheries in river, at times when you say we have a certain number of fish coming back on the preseason forecast. Mm-hmm. So they say we're going to fish 3 days a week, or we're going to fish 5 days a week. And early on in the season, it's been a pretty substantial return. In other words, your fishermen and maybe some of the women are getting pretty good return for their effort. Is there a, and I'm asking this because I get conflicting information. Is there like a cap that they would stick to, or would they look at it and say the run is overperforming, so we're going to continue to fish deeper into the season?
They do in-season changes, but for the most part, when they're – so our biologists – our fisheries managers work with the state, and they use the NOAA data, the ocean data, and the co-managers come up with those numbers, the catch cap, the escapement goals. So they don't really deviate from that once the handshake's done.
Once they strike the deal and they say we're gonna you know harvest this percentage of fish on the forecast.
But it's like the goal, the main thing is the escapement. So
That's kind of the impact factor that we have to pay attention to.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's nice to hear that, you know, Quinault Nation will do in-season upgrades or monitor looking at it to say, nope, we're not hitting our marks. Mm-hmm. We're either going to have to stop fishing for a week or we need to curtail back.
Shut down.
Yeah.
Or all of us, commercial and guide.
A lot of people just think you guys just, you know, you're 5 days a week, you throw nets in river and you just take everything you can get.
A lot of people think it's the Wild West and it's really not.
It's the Wild West. Yeah. So if both sides of the table are in fact monitoring, making adjustments in season management, that was verbiage that not too long ago back in history wasn't discussed. You'd set a season, you go fishing. DFW didn't do in season management as aggressive as they do now. Now it works both sides. Sometimes it really ticks you off because they slam the door shut and shut a fishery.
Right.
But other times they go, hey, much like DFW did last season with Coho, we don't have a conservation concern out here in the Grays Harbor region. We're going to keep fishing. Now, co-managers didn't agree with it, but they said, okay, you guys, you do your fishery because we're doing ours. And as it turned out, you know, they met escapement. So I guess they hedged their bet and they went for it, and it worked out. But without that type of insight to take a look at it, again, both sides of the table.
For sure.
I think we'd have a lot more disagreement than we're finding agreement at the table, for sure.
Absolutely.
Okay. Excellent. More to get to in regards to these hatcheries numbers and how many you guys are actually running out there and the numbers of fish you're kicking into the waters each and every year. It's impressive.
Yeah.
But we got some summer steelhead to talk about, and I know you both are passionate about that.
Oh, man. I love.
How can you not? All right.
Yeah.
In case you missed it, atmospheric river was upon us this last week. What did it do to the rivers? How's the summer on steelhead fishing starting off this season? And oh, by the way, I'm going to go take advantage of that tomorrow.
Yeah. Kind of jealous.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, jumping out for a quick break. We come back. Let's discuss summer steelhead water levels and what this atmospheric river did to most of our streams around us that are open. More of that we get back after this break right here, Fish on Northwest.
Support from Northwest Sportsmen make Federal Ammunition the world's leading ammunition manufacturer. Federal uses the industry's finest materials, giving you reliable ammunition that delivers superb accuracy and optimum performance. Northwest hunters rely on Sportco to provide the best selection and prices in the Northwest since 1985. Sportco and Outdoor Emporium in Fife and Seattle. Your journey begins here.
All right, welcome back here in studio, Dwayne England, Fish on Northwest. And guys, I don't know if you saw, we had a little rain here. I got to imagine out on the coast. Now you're in Port Angeles.
Saturday and Sunday, it was dumping like forks in November.
Yeah, yeah, well over an inch point 0.08 here in Olympia.
Oh yeah.
And Herzog and I had planned to fish last Sunday, summer on fish, and then Jordan and I were supposed to get out with our buddy Big Nate Brian on the ocean for Monday, and it was like everything's canceled. Right, just close the doors. We're staying home. It was interesting because I kind of follow the river levels in the forecasts and where it's going to go and when's it going to get on the drop and how soon can we get back to fishing. Opening for summer steelhead in this region Memorial Day weekend was, for a number of folks, lights out with pretty good steelhead fishing. That will continue. This weather change, when they started talking atmospheric river in the first week of June, I was like, what? Seriously? I mean, we've had bumps of weather going into June before where I look at local creeks around here and they're like, oh, they're going to be 600, 700. I had not anticipated watching rivers that I love to fish this time of year on a historical mean of say 400 CFS and watch that thing shoot up to 2200. That's a significant dump of water. Now, that being said, and now that it's on the drop, you know, it'll drain out relatively quick. People think, oh, the rivers are up. Well, they are now. Mm-hmm. And probably by tomorrow, that river is going to be at about 1,000 or 900,
right,
which is still 400 or 500 more than it typically is this time of year, which is impressive, which should, you know, draw some fish in, right? Mm-hmm. And things should fish pretty well. We're going to be fishing tomorrow on conditions that would be somewhat like you would find in February on a good drop without the 28 degrees in the morning.
Right.
You know,
it's going to be flip flops, man.
Yeah. It's going to be like 80 degrees tomorrow at some point.
Just and tan lotion out. Yeah.
So the rivers have been getting quite a bit of pressure. Interestingly enough, though, you look at all this water dumping in. The state as a whole has been declared in status of drought going into this season, right? Snowpack.
There's no snow.
Yeah. Wasn't ample enough, and it's already gone to the point of where they say we're going to be into a drought. As higher temperatures come through July and August, we'll get more of the glacial melt, but for the most part of that snowpack getting in here to June, you know, a lot of that has been consumed in the higher elevations. With that storm that blew in, we got some snow, but it's quick to melt too because we're heating right up,
right?
So I guess what I'm saying is these rivers are going to drain out pretty quick.
I think so.
We will probably be in that 200 to 250 CSF by August.
Yeah, it's 3-4 weeks
Which is standard, right? Yeah. I mean, that's typically what we're fishing. But hey, that's summer run fishing. So you guys got fish showing up out there on the coast?
We got blueback sockeye coming in, and some late winter steelhead, and some early summer run steelhead in the river now.
Do you you typically just recreational fish for summer steelhead, or do you run trips?
I do guided trips.
Oh, you do?
It depends on the regulations, and that's all driven by the projections.
So yeah.
The river's open now until the end of the month, and the queets just open.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't think we can keep steelhead.
So, check on that before you book a trip.
I just noticed that it was open.
So. Yeah. So we got some great opportunity in around here in this region. Up north, they, you know, opening late, June 15th, I believe, only open until July 10th on the Skykomish. Mm-hmm. Very, very short season. Weren't anticipating a decent return. From what I'm hearing here, not only do we have great water conditions, but we have some great opportunity as far as fish numbers. Now, those begin to dwindle. Pressure is high. Mm-hmm. Everybody owns a draft or a drift boat right now. Oh, but that'll also change. As we get deeper into June and into July, other fisheries start opening up.
Yep.
People start getting salmon on the mind, right?
Yeah.
We start chasing salmon on the ocean. Puget Sound. Resident Coho is open in Puget Sound.
Yeah.
It's fishing pretty well.
Cool.
Fishing pretty well already. Awesome. So there's some great opportunity out there. So so you're going to run some trips in, Ruben, out there?
I got a trip next week on the Quinault. I just got on this boat, and we're trying to go chase halibut.
Okay,
so I'm trying to keep my calendar.
Gotcha.
You know, we're new boat, new everything.
So. You guys use bait for summer runs out there in the Quinault?
I swing wickeds.
Oh, yeah? Works pretty well.
All our money. They're deadly.
Swing wickets for summer steel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Make note of that. Yeah. All right. Jumping out for a quick break. Yeah. When we come back, we are going to talk. James, we got some presentations, rigging, and information to get to the folks.
Yeah.
Again, we're not just catching swinging.
Nope. I this this has been tried and true.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. All right, don't go anywhere. Talk some rigging techniques, things you probably have not seen or heard of with these wicked lures with James Beasley. We come back after this break right here, Fishing Northwest.
Hey guys, I'm Big Mike. Come on down to the Edge Pro Shop and see me. We've got all the best brands under one roof. We've got Hawken, Pro-Cure, Shortbus, Pro-Troll, Yakima Bait, Get 'em Dry Jigs, Northwest Bait Scent, Daiwa Reels, North Fork Lures, North Wild, Brad's, Superfly, Rocky Mountain Tackle, and of course, the greatest rods ever built, Edge Rods.
All right, welcome back here in studio, Dwayne England, James Beasley, and Ruben Estevillo. I threw the L's in there. Oh, God.
Estevillo. I do it.
Everybody two L's in his name. Yeah. That's how we talk here in America.
Yeah.
James, so before we jump into rigging and stuff, how many states, do you remember how many different states you've traveled to, fishing wicked lures?
Louisiana for red fishing. They were great for red fishing, shore fishing, and of course Alaska. Mm-hmm. Just got back from Montana
for trout,
and that was unbelievable for trout. Mm-hmm. We just crushed the trout out there in Helena and out in Holter Lake, and that was loads of fun. And there's Idaho, Alaska, Montana.
I gotta assume Oregon.
Oh yeah, Oregon,
Washington, obviously.
Oregon, Alsea River. I fished them on the Alsea.
On the ocean.
Yeah, we
trolled them beyond a 360.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Fill them on a 360 or on a just a regular triangle flasher.
Yeah,
we did it up in Yakutat Bay 2 years ago.
Yeah,
running wicked behind it, 30-inch leader.
Kodiak.
We were catching halibut. The halibut were coming up. Yeah. If you got it too close to the bottom, because we're fishing about 120 feet of water, mm-hmm. fishing for late kings up there, and it was the first week of September. If you got it too close to the bottom, it was a ling cod or halibut.
And we run down a list of. Oh, that's a good segue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you told me a dinner walleye.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We caught a walleye.
Trout fishing?
Yeah, trout fishing. My buddy Greg got a nice walleye last week, trolling those for in Holter Lake.
Redfish is a surprise to me. It's like. Really?
Yeah.
Redfish.
Oh, yeah. Orange. Like orange and gold, orange and silver.
Interesting.
Big colors.
So trout, steelhead, coho, chinook.
Caught true cod and Kodiak.
Caught true cod. I've caught ling cod on them. We've caught sea bass. Just cast them off the shores or just in your boat. Just cast them in the kelp beds.
Well, it is a soft plastic.
Yeah, it's soft plastic. Movement, it's bait.
Mm-hmm.
Everything eats bait.
Sure.
If it swims and it's bait, they're going to eat it.
Extremely versatile.
Absolutely.
Now you have a number of different methods and techniques. Look, the inline sinker, I mean, myself with Jared Cady and others, we've shown this, casting and retrieving, drift fishing them for coho on the swing works fantastic, right?
Yeah.
Other ways of presenting this particular lure.
So we were about 7 years ago when we would go up to Lake Creek and Jeff allowed us to come up there and R&D this product. We would run them on the three-way swivel and we back bounce them. Run like a 2 or 3 ounce cannonball and back bounce.
Yeah.
Because nobody up there was back bouncing. And guides had come by us and everybody was using plugs. Everybody's using plugs. And we were just smoking kings back bouncing. And it was a lot of fun. So I went back a year later and a couple of guides that work for Jeff Woodward say, listen, we get guys that want to fly in from all over the world. They can't cast. They don't know how to run a bait caster. If you can figure this concept up to go head to head with our plugs and run them, with plugs and figure that out, we'll run them for you. And we'll give you an honest test and let you know how we do. So I went back that year, figured out the right diver, the right leader length, the right float. Some of the guys were giving me a lot of input and kind of helped me out, which is really cool. And so after about 3 or 4 years of fine tuning it, we came up with this concept.
Hold on to that.
Which
kind of show that there. Yeah.
You can see this. The line's kind of wrapped around, but.
So you got a diver on a slider.
Yep.
On a dropper.
Yep.
And then you've created this little inline float.
Yep. I went to BOMAC and they designed these floats for me and they got a straw through and they slide down here.
Okay. So it's a slider, it goes against the bead.
Right. So when you buy one of the wickeds, you have enough leader to make this.
Yeah.
So you would cut this to 30 inches. You tie it to a snap swivel. Okay. Then that goes to a barrel swivel. And this is online. I have a video up there. And we run a bead down here, and that tag leader is 20 inches. So it's 50 inches from where your lure is to where
to
the bead
diver.
Chain tool is.
Yep.
Then run a slider.
Now the float in line is to give it the buoyancy it needs.
Brings
to
keep it off the bottom, just in front of their eyeballs. So when you're back trolling, it doesn't hang up on the bottom and bow, and then you get stuck and you got to reel it up and you lose it or it gets tagged.
That's basically an engineered system here.
Absolutely.
Off of the diver and utilizing
and
the float.
You can use a jet diver if you like for deeper pockets of water. Yep. I like Magnums or these Mud Dog divers.
Yep, from Brad's. Yep.
But we would, you know, and then we figured it out like 3 years ago, and then the guys are coming into the lodge and saying, it's all fish in our plugs. Yep. I mean, it's instant, and the takedowns are, it's a smaller presentation.
Where do folks, they find these?
You can find Sport Co, Bass Pro, Cabela's.
Online, anywhere you can find Wickeds, you can get the inline float to couple with your diver program.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's fantastic. That's
so this is for those guys that are diehard plug guys, and they're out there, and they're great fishermen.
Yeah.
And if you just want to go out one time and just try something different, anchor up, give it a try, especially in high water.
Yeah.
You know, when the river's on the rise, run these.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a no-brainer. So it's really fun, effective, you know, just another awesome way to fish them.
And it works for Chinook, Coho, Chamo Grab, everybody. Yeah.
We do it for steelhead sometimes. Really? Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
We'll do it for steelhead.
Steelhead like that, Ruben?
Steelhead. Yeah. Steelhead will do it. But generally, you know, you got bigger numbers because Coho and Kings, and it's way more effective for Kings and Coho doing
Fantastic.
That. And the Chamo will destroy it.
And you can put bait on the hook.
Oh, yeah. Everybody knows it's got a snell knot, so you can put a piece of prawn or eggs on
there.
There
you go. Nice.
And holds bait.
Fantastic. So. All right. Never enough time and too much to get to, but that presentation I wanted to get out there for you guys to see because that little inline float in a 30-inch leader, that is your moneymaker. All right. Right jumping out for a quick break. We come back. Ruben, more hatchery talk with you, my friend. Yeah. After the break, right here, Fish on Northwest.
I make my living catching fish, not only as a tournament angler, but as a guide as well. Catching fish is important, and Gamagatsu hooks for me, you know, they kind of help take the luck out of fishing a little bit just because they're a high quality hook. Obviously, have a really good reputation for being very strong and very sharp. Gamagatsu, I use their products every day in the boat and, you know, big part of my success.
All right, welcome back here in studio. Hey, great question by Paul Vesey. James, will that work plunking? In other words, throwing it out there, letting it sit on bottom with this float and and lure in line?
Absolutely, 100%. It works great.
How do you rig that? Three-way
swivel? Same thing, three-way swivel. Run a little dropper, 10, 12-inch dropper, just to keep it above, you know, above the fish's eyeballs, but right in front of them, and run that float, like I say, in the center, just to keep that lure up a little bit, and let that just hover and move right in front of them. And that will, you'll see it moving in the current.
Gotcha. All right. Because of that question, James, because you brought gifts, which, you know, I wasn't aware of. So Paul Vesey, we are going to prize you up with a 6-pack of Wickeds pink and blues and a little package of the inline float. So you can try it out plunking and give us a full report. Let us know how that works. So it's just that easy. Get us a great question. We may prize you up. We got a few more of these to give away, James. Thank you so much. Ruben, there are three hatcheries out there amongst the Quinault Nation. And the Cook Creek hatchery we had mentioned, and I think you had told me that's a co-op hatchery.
It is. It's a national fish hatchery, but it's a co-op with the tribe.
What particular species of fish are they rearing and releasing out of that hatchery?
So they raise coho, steelhead, and chum.
Gotcha. And then there's the Salmon River on the Queets.
Salmon River dumps into the Queets. They do about 1.5 million. They do 500,000 steelhead, about 750,000 coho, and about 250,300 Kings.
Gotcha. And then, of course, the Lake Quinault Tribal Hatchery. Mm-hmm. It's full-on tribal. What fish are they raising there? And
they're raising steelhead, sockeye, kings, and coho.
Which hatchery is the you know, the staple, the steelhead broodstock program?
The two tribal hatcheries do the selective broodstock method, where what they'll do, like, well, the Salmon River has an actual raceway. So they'll get once a week, usually on Wednesday, they'll drain the raceway. There's about 7,000 fish in the raceway.
Wow.
So they're selecting the largest fish. And then on the, with the pen rearing, the Lake Quinault hatchery, they'll put a gill net out on the lake in front of one of the creeks.
That's how they collect them?
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
In front of one of the creeks. And so they don't have a raceway, but they have holding pens inside the facility. So they'll take the fish live up to the hatchery, put them in the pens, and then they spread that spawn out over about 3 months.
So they're elongating the timing of capture and release.
No, they release them all at once, but okay, they're all different size.
Gotcha. Okay, I see what you're saying.
So you can't do a per pound average on the steelhead because they're, you have all different sizes.
Gotcha.
But they come back at different times. So you release them all at the same time, but they come back at different
Which is what you want. Mm-hmm. You don't want a 3 week window of fish returning and then you're done. We got to have like a 3 to 4 month opportunity.
So what they'll do is they'll fertilize, they'll take the largest hen and they select the two largest bucks and fertilize her eggs with the two biggest bucks.
So, are they still recognizing, you know, true wild fish, native fish within these systems, wild fish versus, you know, hatchery reared brood stocking, or what's truly the rule on that?
On our catch regulations, we don't distinguish between the two, but you know, they've found some of our hatchery fish in the upper Quinault.
Oh,
and the park, they don't like to,
they don't want them up there. Yeah.
But yeah, you know, we're just enhanced with the broodstock program. They're just enhancing the wild run. Mm-hmm. They're all natural fish from that system.
Gotcha.
We're not bringing in fish from somewhere else.
They've always been from that system.
They started there. And the guides actually started the hatchery program.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, back in the 60s.
Oh, in the 60s. Gotcha.
So early 80s, 1980, the U.S. Forest Service had that property where the Lake Quinault hatchery's at. And they gave that property to the tribe, and our fish plant wanted to raise pan-sized trout there.
Oh,
they thought they could market them.
Oh,
and one of our Bush McMines was our fisheries manager. He said, "No, we need to raise salmon.
We need to be doing
and
this."
All of those guys in the beginning, they were all guides.
So the co-op is national. Federal money? Federal money? Some state money or federal money?
I think it's just national. It's a federal hatchery.
Is there any state money going into the Quinault hatchery program?
They do go after a lot of – we have grant writers.
Yeah, yeah.
So we go after – like the – we just got additional funds for the – to raise Chinook for the orcas.
Yeah.
So we just – our Lake Quinault hatchery just raised an additional – 500,000 Chinook
for the orcas. Wow. Yeah, part of that comes out of the Orca Task Force
out of NOAA.
Yeah, which is important, and we got a pretty good bump of Chinook get back into our waters because of that decision with NOAA being on board to make that happen. Absolutely. As well, because they could have put the kibosh to it and said no. Yeah. But I mean, we've seen what happened to the orca, and it's lock and step with the tremendous cutback on hatchery fish over the last 15, 20 years, right? I mean, it's just
hand in hand.
It's just put us down that path. So, all right, jumping out for a quick break. We come back. Your rivers, his lures. You guys made some history out there. We're going to talk about that after this break right here, Fish on Northwest.
Support from Northwest Sportsmen make Federal Ammunition the world's leading ammunition manufacturer. Federal uses the industry's finest materials, giving you reliable ammunition that delivers superb accuracy and optimum performance. Northwest hunters rely on Sportco to provide the best selection and prices in the Northwest since 1985. Sportco and Outdoor Emporium in Fife and Seattle. Your journey begins here.
All right, welcome back here in studio. Hey, another interesting question from Mr. Daniel Johnson. Is the blade considered a French, Colorado, or Bear Valley? How'd you come up or decide with which blade to run with?
Well, that's a great question. When I started putting blades on these, geez, years ago when I was like 19 years old, you know, I was just doing it for fun. Mm-hmm. But presentation to me was everything. And doesn't matter what you're using, it has to be, you know, that has to be everything.
Yep.
And so I went to French blades. I went to, you know, plastic blades. I went to every blade known to man. And I finally found the right blade, the right weight combination to make that flutter. And, of course, the right flash. And that's why when we cast these, and a lot of times they're so light and those blades flutter down and they'll just flutter like this. And the coho will come up and grab them. The keys will come up and grab them.
Yeah.
But slow fall.
Not overweighted.
That's what you want. Just nice and slow. And that's why we get so many coho that hit them on the drop. So yeah, so that's actually an Indiana blade.
Indiana blade. Cat's out of the bag. Right there.
There you go.
Okay, prize worthy on that question?
You know, that's a great question. I've had a lot of people ask me, they go, can you just sell me your blades? Sell me your blades. Like, no, we don't really do that. But
Dan Johnson getting six wickets and three floats as well. And thanks for bringing this stuff in.
No, I'm glad. This is awesome. Thanks for inviting us on the show. This is awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, Ruben, you and I kind of discussed this too. You guys recognize on your production, release, return, all that, 70% of fish are impacted in Alaska.
Yeah, 70% of our fish are harvested in Alaska.
Mm-hmm. And you know that by wire code tagging and things like that, and them wanding them up there and figuring out. Same for the state. Mm-hmm. You know, now is Northwest Treaty Tribes or anybody working to try to curtail some of that behavior up there? Is it just that's just the way it is?
It is what it is. I mean, the Alaska managers, they are the fishermen, say when they're up there, they're their fish.
Yeah.
So, you know, how do you convince them that they're not?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We almost had that injunction last fall from a judge that put the stop to Southeast Alaska fisheries that would have put another 10 to 15. It might've been in around 12,000 Chinook back here in the Grays Harbor region.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah. Well, it doubles our normal return. It doubles what the escapement is. Right. Yep. And so that would have been a wide open gangbusters. Yeah. Hey, here you go. But then they intervened last minute. They're too powerful up there.
Yeah.
And they're able to regenerate that, and they got their fishery back. But you know, for a moment in time, we're sitting here going, "Oh my gosh, could you imagine?"
Oh.
Right? And is DFW going to have to go back in and rewrite some regs to get us through this fall season because this is wide open?
Caught, you know,
so that just shows you remove a cog out of the wheel up there.
Yep.
Our fisheries here at home could be pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely amazing. So, all right, Ruben, your rivers, James, your lures. When did you guys start teaming up fishing together out there?
So
about eight years ago.
Yeah. So the year before I had another guide come out, Sunny Man, and it was a typical day, October. He said, "Hey, can I try these lures out?" And I'm not too proud to learn something new.
Sure.
You know, we're throwing all the typical Magworts and Vibrex and, you know,
the standard,
the regular stuff. And so he brings the OG pink and chartreuse, and it was a slow day, slow bite, and at the end of the day he had six fish and everybody else had zero fish.
I go figure.
So it was,
you said, what is that thing?
Yeah, light bulb went off.
And James, you've been out there fishing with Ruben a number of times.
I met him on a river. I was fishing with another guide for a little bit, and I kind of introduced him to the product. And like I say, he didn't want to tell any other guides, which is so common.
Well,
right?
Sure. Yeah.
Sure. I mean, you got it to yourself, right?
Right now.
And I met Ruben, and we just hit it off so great. And I said, "Listen, can I book a trip with you? I'd like to take you and show you how I do this." And the first time we went out, I mean, it was like, you know, he was actually fishing too, so he got to see how easy it was to swing him.
Yeah.
And then it just became such a good friendship. And then we just kept fishing together. And then
what have you done out there? Coho, Chinook, and Steelhead?
Coho, Chinook, and Steelhead.
Yeah.
Yep.
Successful
done it all.
Yep. We're gonna actually try to get a day on the book here.
I can't wait.
Right
here, buddy.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do.
And
the main in line. That's how I swing them. Just all my rods are 30-pound braid,
perfect,
half ounce inline, 36-inch leader, and you're just
swinging
them,
drifting.
I'm
excited and intrigued to see this October. We're going to be doing this.
It's going to be something special.
We are going to run out of time. Jumping out for a quick break. We're going to come back and close out the show.
You've entrusted one brand to guide you towards living the lifestyle you've always dreamed of. Now you can entrust Affiliated Better Homes and Gardens real estate professionals to interpret your needs and help you find the home in which to live your dream through every stage of your home buying or selling process. And through every stage of your life, there's Better Homes and Gardens real estate. Expect better.
All right, welcome back here to the program as we wind it down. James Beasley, Ruben Estevillo, so great to have you guys.
This is awesome, man.
We never have enough time. I mean, we could talk for literally hours on this stuff, right? Yep. So
just starting to get into it.
Well, it is what it is. We are we're up against it here, but you know, hopefully, folks, they gained a little bit of perspective on the efficiency of these lures. I mean, absolutely. I have fished them, and every time I've ever fished them, I've had success.
Yeah.
Of course, there's fish around. That helps.
That helps.
Fall time.
Right, right, yeah.
If people really want to take these on, it's like, really, fall time's a great time to do it for coho,
man.
Huh?
Oh, man. That's, you know, all I swing at with coho.
Yeah. Like, you tell, there's a lot of, you know, I got a lot of friends in the industry, and they sell, I mean, great products. Everybody's got a great product.
Yep.
And, you know, I just tell everybody, look, when it's coho season, it's fall salmon season, grab a few of these and just have them on you.
Yeah.
And go down and try something different if you're not used to doing this.
Yeah, for sure. It's a great opportunity to get a product or a new type of technique in front of fish to see if you're doing it right. And then if you ask success, you know, like, you do.
Depending on the river, try different colors.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So I would advocate buying four or five. There's your sales pitch. Yeah. All right. That is going to do it for us this week here in studio. I want to thank my guests once again for coming in. Hopefully you enjoyed this. I know I sure did. Weather's going to be amazing. Get out there and enjoy. Get something done. Have a great week. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time right here, Fish Hunt Northwest. Hey, thanks for joining us here on the Fish Hunt Northwest weekly podcast. I want to remind everyone that you can catch our weekly live stream show on our Facebook page and, of course, our YouTube channel every Thursday evening at 6 p.m. West Coast time. You'll get our insightful in-studio interviews, our extremely detailed how-to segments in the bait lab, the infield segments we bring to you when we're on the water or in the woods, and of course, our amazing cooking recipes in the kitchen with co-host Sherry England and chef Jeff Maxfield. Give us a follow on our Facebook page at Fish Hunt Northwest. Also subscribe to our YouTube channel at Fish Hunt NW. Find us on Twitter and Instagram, and finally, go to our webpage at www.fishhuntnw.com for all the latest and greatest info. Join us each week here on our podcast. Join us each week at our live production. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you soon.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.